You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
I think there should be some sort of signage on your vehicle. Pre-recorded responses.
Here's where I don't think you've thought this through.
Okay.
People like me.
People like you who have the ability to program it themselves.
That will say F you.
Exactly.
It'll have awful words in there.
It won't
just
say
a giant middle finger.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Just pulled a dummy move.
What happened?
Guy in Collingwood's building my fence.
Yeah.
And he, before the series, the Maple Leaf series, he's like, this is going to be a long series. It'll go six. I said, no. Be a quick series. I was heavy on Boston. So he sends me a text. He's like, how about this? If it goes six, or if it's a quick series, we'll do your gate free of charge, free gate. And I just wrote, yep, deal. Because I figured, it goes six, whatever, you do the gate for free. If not, I pay for the gate. I thought that was the deal. So I go through the text this morning, and I call him, and he goes, are we all set for Sunday? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, the deal. If it goes six, you get us tickets to the game. I'm like, so now I'm in a hole.
It's going six. Gonna
you
go
better,
seven.
You
probably.
Better get into that lottery at the alumni box.
So I'm thinking. I said, look, I didn't. He obviously thought I was reneging because I was like,
well, yeah. I mean, if you said yes, even if you didn't
I know, but
read
I didn't read
print.
It. I thought it was the gate free or the gate being paid.
That's on you. You didn't read it. That's the fine print.
And I go, look, man, I'm a man of my word, but I had no idea this was the deal. I thought it was about a gate. And then I hung up the phone and I write him. I go, look, I'll take you to the game next year. He's like, okay, not gonna lie, very disappointed.
Well, yeah.
That's gonna be a faulty gate. I'll bet you.
If I said that to you, you wouldn't believe me that I didn't know it was about the gate?
Well, you got
to. Anyway, I had to go and call my buddy and say, can I buy your two tickets? And now I got to buy the guy tickets.
Here's the problem.
And you got to pay for the gate, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Well, if you give. If
Why
you
would
give
you
us
take
the,
that bet?
I don't know. I don't even know.
You actually thought Boston was going to win in five or less.
I did.
Like, you actually did.
I don't think.
I can't believe that.
I think the series is going seven.
I think so, too. The Leafs are going to have to win a game in their building.
But you talked about
that. I said
that
after game one.
Yeah, game one or two. Yeah, exactly. So that's on you. And if you show it to us, you have to show it unredacted.
That's right. We don't want any redaction taking place.
And then we don't know how it's really supposed to play out.
Well, but let's get a poll question going up on Twitter. How long will that fence hold up? Because I'd be willing to bet
12 hours.
You're not getting grade A quality.
No, you're getting two hockey sticks.
That is the bet in that blue text right there.
Wow.
All right, let me read this, okay?
Is it legal to read?
Yes.
Yes. If the Bruins win in five or less, Rich and me build your gate for free. Hardware, material, labor, whole thing. If the Leafs make it to six in Toronto, you get him and me into the building. Bet? Question mark. Followed up with, yep, let's do it.
I read, we'll do the gate, and I figured the rest of it is, I pay for the gate if it doesn't.
But you would have been paying for
no
it
kidding.
Anyway.
It's no, hold stupid. On a second it's a here. Dumb move
it's
that
on
cost
you,
me
yeah, but
X here, amount of dollars.
Here's the thing, though. I think the gate may still be free. It's just a bet, no?
No, I didn't get that impression.
You didn't get the impression that we'll build it for free, but if they'd make it, it was more that.
Why would they do that? Like, think about it. This guy, he's a
businessman. Yeah,
he's saying I'm the materials, the labor, everything is on the house if the Bruins win in five.
Right.
Why would it be like?
Yeah, you're still getting it. Anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
You know
you're
what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
like,
you explained
it's
correctly.
Obviously, yeah, you pay for the gate, which was what we were going to do anyway. But what I win is a pair of tickets to game six.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. If you're taking that to the Supreme Court, you're paying for tickets for game six.
Yeah.
I was in shock. I was having breakfast. He's like, are we all good? And I'm like, for what? I'm all good.
Well, no, you can't.
So then he's like, I'm not going to lie. I'm disappointed.
You got to come up with some tickets.
Well, you know when the Leafs won. When the Leafs won game three. He would have been doing a Ray Bourque fist pump all over the backyard because it guaranteed it was going at least six.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
So he's been waiting probably for you to reach out for the better part of 72 hours. Hey, I know this was the bet. I've just been working on the tickets. Sorry I went
dark. Oh, I reached out all right, but it was, how's the fence going?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and he said...
Like, and then he followed it up at the end with...
How's the tickets going?
Yeah. Are we all good for Sunday? I go, as far as what?
That's tough, man.
Yeah,
I think you're probably put... You put yourself in a bad spot.
Yeah.
You put yourself in a bad spot.
But also, there should have been something that he could... Like, that was a... That's a really tough bet. Like, you're betting that it's five or less. Like, you only gave yourself a real small margin for error.
Terrible odds you gave yourself.
Like, say they win in seven.
In my head, I didn't give myself any odds.
Okay.
Did you not get that through your head? I thought it was about a gate. I didn't even read it. I'm just like, okay, gate free or not free.
Yeah. Well, I think it's you're going to pay for it. And
yeah,
you're
no, I know. I already did.
If you want that gate to be functioning... 6 months from now, you got to get those guys into your...
And with good hardware.
Dude, I got him ticked. I wrote back and I'm like, look...
He better make sure that fence looks like something you'd see at the Vatican.
Exactly. That better be made of gold because those tickets will be worth a fortune.
Right.
Game six.
He better be out there doing his little fence thing and it better be absolutely...
And it better be the proper height.
Perfect.
It better be everything or else...
You're going to reneg yourself. You should get up there.
Yeah, tell me it has to be built by the time you hand the tickets
over.
Yeah,
there's got
to
be
because you need
sort of
to see
demand.
What's going on there.
Yeah, no,
I'm giving the guy the tickets tomorrow. He's not even close to being done.
Well, say show me what the gate's going to look like. I want it. I want a picture. I want a layout. I want the materials it's going to be made of.
We need all the details, and we need them on the show. Yeah. Get that poll question up though. If the O-Dog reneges, how long will his fence hold up?
It'll be 12 hours. It won't last the next day.
It'll hold up like the Maple Leafs penalty kill. It'll be the Maple Leafs penalty kill of fences if you reneg. Because that's the story today.
Yeah.
They can't kill a penalty, which is just a fact. They're killing at a 54% rate in the series. I mean that's abysmal. That. That's killing you.
But I still think there's a little hope for it. I have to be honest.
Well, it's 2-2. They're in a fine spot.
Not for the series. For the penalty kill. Because if you look at their first kill, now the McAvoy's goal, that was the second unit that was on there. They did a good job on the top unit. Top unit couldn't get set up, couldn't move it around on that first penalty kill. Like there was almost a little bit of a formula there. Hey, we're going to be aggressive. We've got a disruptor entry. Like to me, they had little bit going.
You're just putting lipstick on a pig. They did a good job on the first unit, but the second one scored.
You're right. I'm not.
Then they did it again in the second period. It's game over.
I'm saying there's hope for that if they can figure that out.
Yeah,
that's my point.
But they didn't figure it out in the second period. Yep. Marchand sets
beautiful
up past
pass
and
it scored in every game in the power play. Yep. That's not figuring jack out.
No, it's a problem. Special teams are a big problem because. 5-on-5, they've been the better team through four games. They were better than Boston again 5-on-5 last night. And I didn't think it was a very intense game. It didn't really feel like a playoff game.
That's the problem with it. They let an opportunity slip away where Boston didn't have their A stuff, and they still found a way to win the hockey game, which is very dangerous.
I thought Boston took their foot off the gas twice. They get up 2-0 on opportunistic plays, and then the Leafs really pour it to them. I thought Tuukka was really good in the first period on a couple in tight chances, one Nylander, and then Austin scores early in the
in the second period.
Early in
the
second period,
it's tied,
and place is going nuts. And then all of a sudden, boom, boom, and now you're chasing the game again. And Boston took their foot off the gas, and the Leafs revved it up. But it was a weird game. Like I wasn't there, but I watched it on TV. Like it sounded like the building. Couldn't be into it until the Leafs got into it on the scoreboard.
Well,
right?
Listen, we don't generally talk a lot about the crowd. I know it's such low-hanging fruit
for
people in the city that don't get a chance to get into the building, people that can't get tickets. So easy to say how quiet it is. It's a morgue. It's a library. It's an awful crowd.
Right.
I thought Game 3 was a great crowd. It was a great crowd. I thought the first two periods were alive. It was buzzing in the third period. It quieted down a little bit in Game 3 because of the context of the game.
Exactly.
The one-goal game, it was a tight game. People were on the edge of their seats. They weren't going to get up like seals and clap because the Jumbotron said, hey, make some noise. Last night, though, I thought was as flat of a playoff experience as I've ever witnessed in my life.
So
I really thought the crowd was dead last night.
I got to be honest. That's how it came through my TV.
It was awful. And I think it was partially because, again, the Bruins got up 2-0 so quickly.
Yeah.
I think a lot of fans are like, here we go. Of course the Leafs aren't going to make it easy on themselves and win the game.
Well, they were waiting. They're like, this is going to be 5-0. So
that's what it felt like.
And it was waiting for a dentist appointment.
And it was going to be 5-0. Freddie, I didn't think Freddie was great last night.
No.
He made the one save that would have made it 3-0. Right-handed shot. I can't remember who came in.
Right.
And then the Leafs had a little bit of life and went back the other way. And I thought Tuukka made some really good saves in the first period. Well, that could have been 2-2.
Yeah, and I think once it got to 2-2, I mean, to be fair to the crowd, it came alive a little bit,
absolutely.
But then it was just bang-bang, Pastrnak, back-to-back, and it's over.
Opportunistic,
again.
And then...
But I thought even in the third period, you know, we don't have any rituals here.
Right.
It's not a college basketball type of experience, which I understand. I mean, it's the pros, and everyone has their own different rhythm and routine during an intermission, but they're down 4-2 going into the third. That's not a game that's done. That's not a lead that is insurmountable.
Not in today's game, especially.
And half the seats were empty to start the third. And I was watching people pour back into their seats after the second whistle.
Wow.
Not the first whistle, which sometimes you try to get back. Oh, you can't. The usher says, Heisman, wait until the first whistle. We're talking four and a half minutes into the period. The second whistle, and people are still coming down with their drinks and their food. I'm like, what are you doing?
Got an opportunity here to watch playoff
hockey. Game at home. Like, this isn't a Tuesday night with Minnesota in town in November, where I get it. You're like, whatever, who cares? It's not, you know, it's not an exciting game or whatever. Playoffs, third period at home, you know.
Regardless of what's going on.
I couldn't believe how many people were just moseying around. Just, whatever, I'll get to my seats when I get to my seats. I was shocked by that last night.
Wow.
I really was. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, again, partially because the team put themselves in that position where it felt like they were climbing uphill the whole night.
Yeah, they were.
But I agree with your assessment, though. That was a winnable game for both teams. They both say it was winnable. It's not like the Leafs had all this jump and all this life.
So that's where the problem comes.
You had to get it.
You Boston gave that one up. And you know Boston, they're an experienced team. They're in their room saying, we just won and we didn't have our close to not even a B-plus game. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they were just
opportunistic. Wasn't that a B-minus game for them?
They made a couple of just beautiful, like perfect plays that led to goals. Like the McAvoy pass to Marchand on the second goal was a brilliant play.
Okay, but my point is, they're thinking if they bring A-plus two more times, it's their series.
Well, it can be. Unless the Leafs also bring A+.
Yeah.
Then it's a coin flip.
Well, exactly, which is what you have to expect here. Both teams should be looking at this saying, okay, we're down to a best 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
And if you're the Maple Leafs, even more so, you got to win one of the next two games to put yourself back in a position that you've been dreaming about for 12 months. You let Game 7 in their building slip away last year. You're up 4-3 going into the third. We all know what happened.
Right.
Win one of the next two games,
and
reset, and you're right back there.
Why not try to change it up a little bit and have Game 6 at home with a chance?
No, that would be ideal. I'm not saying that's not ideal.
Yeah, they're not going to mail in Game 5. But you're right. Like, that's, in their mind, if you're working backwards, that's the worst you can do. That's what you're going to try the worst to do is to split
the next
two. Two,
and then let's drop the puck on Game 7 and let's see what happens.
But that, you know, that game, in watching it, just there wasn't a lot of flow to it. It was disruptive a little bit. I thought, again, I come back to, I think the Bruins just scored on their opportunities, and the Leafs pressed, but the Bruins did a good job of just kind of, okay, one and done. There wasn't a lot of scramble plays, and where the Leafs had three chances in a row. I think there was one scenario where they were buzzing Rask at that point, but it was kind of a dud of a game, unfortunately. And that happens in a series. Game 4.
It was a weird game.
It was a weird game.
It didn't feel overly intense. There wasn't a ton of animosity or anything.
No, there wasn't that hatred. Maybe both teams were kind of just either overthinking or a little bit tired. But Game 5 has to be a pivotal game for both teams because Boston's got home ice back and the Leafs have an opportunity to go back. Like you say, you've got to win at least one in their building. And why not try and do it in Game 5?
Do you think Drake will be in Boston tomorrow night?
People were writing me last night. You know, I don't even know. Do you want me to start here?
You go ahead because you've been very pointed with your...
Okay.
Chalk-sniffing opinion.
Your debate about Drake.
Okay. Here's what I'll say. I don't know if I want to absolve him, but... I think he was a Torontonian fan that went to a hockey game last night and wore a jersey. The other times that I have a problem with him is when he makes it about himself. He's courtside and chirping and hugging out guys, and he's always in the middle of things. To me, I've said this before, he's a superstar. He doesn't need to act like that. Let the basketball players and the hockey players and whoever else come to him because he's such a star. In last night's situation, I felt bad for him personally because I don't think he was per se jock sniffing. I don't. If he was in the Bruins dressing room after the game,
exactly.
That's jock sniffing.
Exactly. He's from Toronto.
Right.
I think the Toronto teams are exempt from this whole ridiculous Drake curse.
And I'm sure if it was up to him, he would sit by himself and nobody recognize him, no Jumbotron,
right.
Which is basically impossible for him to do.
I think it's funny, though, with the other scenarios, because he's a sports fan, certainly. So if Drake's coming to the game, you know he's going to get a jersey from the home team. He's probably going to wear it because he's showing respect to them. I have fun with it. I just don't like it. Like, I know he's an ambassador for the NBA. I think it was the NBA All-Star game where he's on stage. He's got to give everyone who comes on, he's got to give the hug. He's got to, like, that stuff's too much for me, personally.
Right. Well, and even over in Europe, it's even more prevalent, apparently, because the Drake curse is alive and well with soccer teams over there.
Did you see that tweet? Like, I thought that
Roma.
Was...
AS Roma is a team in the Italian league, and they have banned their players from taking photos with Drake.
How timely was that tweet to the fact that all of a sudden he shows up in a Leaf jersey and they lose?
Can you imagine being such a cooler where a professional franchise has to warn their players, if this guy's around, you run for the hills.
It's awful. Like, he had to have known that he was trending on the wrong side last night.
Well, I think he would be aware of the Drake curse. How you can't possibly be that delusional.
Stupid. He's aware of it.
He's aware of it because, like, I was reading this piece today. Teams in which he has been pictured in their uniform and they've gone on immediately to have a bad loss. Arsenal.
I'm just telling you right now, if this is big enough, I'm going to say there is a Drake curse.
Here's my question.
Go ahead. Finish
the list, but I want to say this. If the Leafs get to Game 7 in Boston, would they ask Drake to go to Boston and wear a Bruins jersey? Like, do you think he would be, like, do you think he would embrace it enough to
hang up the phone?
He would be so rattled, and they wouldn't do it because it's an MLSC affiliation. I think if the Leafs and Raptors were owned by separate entities,
okay,
I think the Leafs would be, hey, can you maybe not do that? Stick with the Raptors, but they're all under the same umbrella. He's a Toronto guy. He's born and raised in Toronto.
That's why I said I actually defended him.
It's not like he's a fake Toronto fan.
I defended him because I felt bad for him last night where people were like, somebody get him a Bruins jersey immediately. Like, people were just beaking this guy.
Arsenal, Man City, Juventus, Borussia Dortmund, and Manchester United. These are massive powerhouses of Europe. Their players pictured with Drake in their uniform, and they went on to have a massive loss the next time. But here's what I would say. Anyone claiming or anyone believing that this Maple Leaf team is even acceptable to a curse, like they could even somehow contract a curse, has not actually been a fan of this team throughout their lives. This is a team that hasn't won a cup since 1967.
Yeah, the curse is already
what
dead.
Curse? Yeah. You know, how are you going to add a curse?
Yeah.
Like, there's no, it's like putting a little bit of pepper on top of, like, a, you know, a pasta dish or in a soup. You know, that's not the reason that you're in trouble.
A guy that's got hours to live and they're like, you might be catching a cold. Big deal.
I'm already out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm already gone.
Yeah,
like, the teams that win all the time, I understand it. Like, if Drake shows up in a Golden State Warriors jersey and they go on to lose, you're like, yeah, there's something going on there.
He's
the
Maple Leafs. He's New England with a Brady jersey on.
Right.
Brady throws five picks.
Exactly. And then has to retire the next day. Then I'd be like, all right, there might be something to this. But the idea that Drake has the power to curse a team like the Maple Leafs, never win anything and haven't won anything in 15 years in terms of the playoffs, is ludicrous.
I just laugh because last night in watching the game and then having a bunch of people send me notes, like, pissed off, like, get this jock sniffer out of here. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I legitimately, you know, feel he is a jock sniffer in certain situations.
Well, trying to get into the winning room, winning team's
Miami,
locker room.
Miami Heat,
but,
they
but
won.
He was he not in McGregor? Remember, he was on McGregor's stage?
Absolutely.
And McGregor got rinsed that
He might have gotten into the ring with Mayweather at one point, too, but he was definitely with McGregor before the Habib fight. It was him and Habib down. It was him and McGregor down in Vegas, and then he went into the octagon and got
He was
crushed.
Wearing like a flag
the
or
Irish
something,
flag.
And McGregor walks off and gives him a high five.
Let's not put this all on him. A lot of these other athletes and teams, they're probably fascinated that the guy, they got Drake pumping in their car all day long. They're probably like, hey, man, want to hang out? It's not like he's just sniffing around
no,
all
no,
the time.
That's, you're right.
Like oh, they love having him around.
No kidding.
They love having him around.
I just think it's funny.
But I thought, have you ever seen the movie The Cooler with William H. Macy?
Yes.
All right, so I want to play this because his character is a guy by the name of Bernie. And Drake, I think his new nickname on this show is Bernie. You want to hear like a little bit of a clip from the movie
that
Cooler?
Yes, great.
Do you know what I do at the Shangri-La?
You're a cooler. You turn winners into losers.
Some people are born lucky.
Yes, yes, yes. Tell Bernie to get over to table 6.
Bernie is not one of them.
People get next to me, their luck turns.
This is one of your coolers?
He's the best.
Better luck next time.
Oh, it was best.
Do you know how I do that?
Listen, I know there's a lot of stuff that happens in casinos all the time.
I do it by being myself.
So Drake
is... What is there such thing as a cooler?
Well, the premise of the movie is this guy Bernie has got the worst luck of anyone in the world. He's a human cooler.
Yeah.
And Alec Baldwin is like the pit boss at a casino in Vegas. And whenever there's a hot table, he goes, get Bernie down to table 6. Because he just cools down the whole table.
The table just goes south the minute he shows
right.
up.
Right. So someone's like rolling the bones and they're on fire. Old Bernie shows up, just taps the table, and it's just the house starts cleaning up.
So that's what Drake is. He's Bernie.
Drake is Bernie.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
I think moving forward, Drake is officially known as Bernie.
Yeah.
Got it.
Steve Phillips is going to join us. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. hitting bombs down in Buffalo. How much more do we have to suffer before this guy can get up?
Joke's over.
Yeah, joke's over. So we'll get into the Jays and what's going on with Vladdy Guerrero Jr. Ray Ferraro will join us just after 5. And the Raptors are not playing tonight. The Maple Leafs are not playing tonight. They're both in action tomorrow night. We'll get you an update on what the plan is down at Maple Leaf Square when they both play at the same time.
Yeah.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray Ferraro will join us, our TSN hockey analyst, just after 5 p.m. Ray is in Winnipeg tonight, calling Game 5 of the Jets-Blues series. He was in Colorado last night, and Colorado storming back and winning that game in overtime, and Calgary is in big, big trouble. Big trouble. And Colorado just simply outplayed them. Like, it hasn't even been close. How many shots did they give up again last night?
53.
Like, what's Mike Smith really supposed to do? I know he's a whipping boy and all that, but what's he supposed to do?
That's not the problem there.
No, it's not.
The goal, that's coming into the series, everyone felt that was the Achilles heel. You know what the Achilles heel is right now? They're top players. Goudreau, Monahan, Lindholm.
There's also a guy in the ice that nobody can stop.
Yeah, exactly.
29 is machine.
Yeah, he is. He's a...
Well, Rantanen showed up last night, too. Not that he hasn't been there the whole series. Has been, but
it's ugly.
Not good for Calgary. Calgary is in big, big trouble. Big, big trouble. So we'll get back into the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs a little bit later in the hour. I'm in a bit of trouble, too, with my own personal routine.
Oh, yeah?
What do you got? I'll tell you about that later on. You're going to want to hear this. I've been outed. My whole setup and my whole daily routine...
Outed.
What, your kid ratted you out because she told your wife you nap all day?
No, my wife's now on mat leave.
Oh.
So she's at home and she's placing eyes on what I'm doing during the day.
She's like, what do you do?
And it's you're not Costanza, going over
you know what you are? It's Costanza in the
it's
office.
Costanza.
At the, what is it, Peterman's? Or?
So you came home and saw the kitchen table, the wifey's sitting there, and you were like, oh, no, I can't go plop my ass on the couch.
Exactly.
Dial in the highlights.
That's not good.
We'll get into it more extensively later on. Here's our TSN Jays analyst, Steve Phillips. What's up, Steve?
Oh, I'm telling you, your life has changed for the worse right now. You're in a mess. You're in a heap of trouble right now.
Yeah.
Maternity leave, the honey-do list is going to be profound every single day right now. I feel bad for you.
Well, let's move into the basement for 5 years. Seriously, I had three kids quickly. I should have moved into the basement for 5 years.
Why would I do that, though?
Because you're saving yourself getting yelled at.
Yeah, that's going to save me. Where have you been the whole day? I've just been in the basement watching baseball games and hockey games.
Playing video games.
Yeah.
Fortnite.
Put some drywall up in a door and a fridge, and then that's your place.
Well, you know what happened here is that, like, my daughter goes to daycare, right? So my wife, when she was working, she'd go to work at 9. So I always used to take my daughter to daycare, but in the past couple of months, my daughter's been pushing for my wife to drop her off.
Yeah.
So they would leave at like 8:45.
You are clear.
And I am home free until I got to come in here for like 2 o'clock. And I don't think it ever dawned on my wife like how much time there is between 9 a.m. and like 1:30 in the afternoon.
Solid 4 spot of
it's
hours.
It's a long time, and I'm just a free man. And I think it finally dawned on her. She's like, "You got a lot of time here. Like, why is the Christmas tree still up in March?
Yeah.
Why is that happening?" So. Anyway, why is Vladdy Guerrero Jr. still in Buffalo, Steve?
Yeah, working on his defense, his base running.
Yeah.
I mean, look, here's the thing. It's you know, I think that the good part about it is with the oblique injury, they got past the April 12th, 13th date where they had to worry about the service time issue. They got him back healthy. That allowed them to sort of focus gently on his conditioning and his core conditioning and his exercises with that. The other thing is, I really do, as much as I know everybody wants guys to start every day, it is much gentler on players to come up in season than it is on opening day. Less pressure, less sort of fanfare. You know, you've got the momentum of success at AAA behind you to be able to come up. And so I really do think it's a matter of days right now before he's up. And I think they probably do. They had a plan in their mind. They wanted to get a certain amount of at-bats, certain amount of defensive work, see a few things from him with that growth. The good thing is the bat's there. It's picked right up where it left off. I mean, he's hitting over 400 right now, 500 on base percentage, 824 slugging percentage. I mean, he's mashing. And so, it's a good thing. And it's just a matter of days, I think, before he is up.
Steve, different organizations handle players differently. If they're upset, they'll make it a public embarrassment type of thing. But as far as Vladdy goes, do you think they pull him aside regarding the weight? I do not know how much he weighs. I have an idea. And just said, let's not let this thing really get out of hand?
Yeah, I think it's been an ongoing issue. And it's not so much about weight as it is about, you know, longevity of career. Because, you know, my experience being around, listen, I had a couple of big guys on teams in the past. You know, I had Mo Vaughn. And for Mo Vaughn, what happened was he got so big that his knees deteriorated. And because his knees deteriorated, he couldn't condition, so he kept getting bigger. And I think for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you know, the idea is how can you maximize your ability and your performance? And I think that the injury really gave them that opening to further talk about it. And that's something they've talked about. They want to make it sort of a multifaceted approach that it's not just about, you don't have to go on a diet. It's about, you know, eating appropriate nutrition, eating healthy and eating at the right times, eating the right sorts of foods and, you know, sort of bringing the family into all of that as well. And then it's going to come down to the sort of self-discipline of the kid and, you know, he's got a chance to be a star. Now, the thing you may not know, his dad originally was in Dodgers camp in the Dominican Republic. And they cut him because he was sort of overweight. He wasn't in really good shape. And it was after that his dad, Vladimir Guerrero Sr., got healthy, lost some weight, trimmed down a little bit, and then, you know, next thing you know, he's with the Montreal Expos and becomes a star. His son is a different body type. I mean, Junior is a different body type, but it comes down to what do you do to maximize your ability? He does need to tighten up his core to be better defensively, to run the bases better, and to have longevity in his career so he can have the best possible career that his talents allow.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, the Blue Jays just wrapped up a 4-game series in Minnesota. They won this afternoon. They take 3 of 4 out of Minnesota. They're now 7-12 on the season. But the American League East just doesn't even make any sense right now. Tampa is pitching at a level that is borderline unprecedented. They're off the charts. I think most people thought they would win a lot of games. They won 90-plus a year ago. The Yankees have almost everybody on the injury list, and the Red Sox are atrocious. They're brutal right now. Do you think this is all going to shake out the way we thought it would prior to the season, and it's just a matter of time before New York and Boston take off, or is it time to adjust what we feel is going to happen with the American League East?
Yeah, it's interesting. Some of the projections in Vegas and other places now have Tampa Bay actually winning the division, that they're starting to believe. And, you know, it's partly believing in the Tampa Bay Rays and then having the doubts about the health of the Yankees and the sort of hangover effect for the Boston Red Sox. Now, I'm not willing to change my prediction right now because I do believe in the back of the baseball card, right? That at the end of the year, you give a guy 162 games over the course of a season, he's going to play his number, whatever that number is of those games, that in the end, the good players average out at their career numbers by the end of the season, and that, you know, many of the Red Sox players who are underperforming will likely get to those numbers. You know, Chris Sale has an 8.5 ERA, and Mookie Betts is hitting 200. That's probably not going to sustain itself, right? There's that term regression toward the mean. When somebody's playing beyond their skis, you know it's going to sort of fall back to the pack. There's also progression toward the mean, that those star players will progress back to their average numbers, and that means that they've got a lot of good offense, a lot of good pitching coming their way. They've got the second, a 6.01 team ERA due to the Boston Red Sox. They have one starting pitcher with an ERA under 6. And that's David Price. Everybody else is over, 6 or over. And so they're better than that. And they will play better than that. It's just it hasn't happened. But what it means is the Yankees are going to get healthy, and they're going to play great. The Red Sox are going to bounce back and progress toward those numbers. So there's a lot of good baseball from a really hot Yankee and Red Sox team. But Tampa Bay is for real. And so I'm still going to say Yankees 1, Red Sox 2, Rays 3. But I'm not going to be shocked at all if the Rays end up 1 or 2 instead of 3, but I think all three of them likely make the playoffs in the American League.
So we had one of those old unwritten rule dust-ups this week between the White Sox and the Royals, and Tim Anderson hit a bomb, and then he...
Bad flip,
and he took his time getting around the bases, and of course, yeah. Kansas City wasn't happy about it, so he comes up later in the game, and he gets plunked. And what made this a little bit different than the other examples we've seen over the years was Randall Grichuk, for whatever reason, felt obligated to jump on Twitter. And Randall tweeted out yesterday, "Guys are getting a little excessive on pimping home runs, on meaningless home runs, too. Act like you've done it before one time." And then Tim Anderson jumps on Twitter responding to him, saying, "Put a name on it so we know who you're talking about." And then Grichuk responds to his tweet by saying, "Are you really responding to my tweet, shaking my head? If it wasn't intended for anyone specific, but clearly you responding shows you're guilty of something." What I find interesting about this is usually the pitchers stick together and the hitters stick together, but that doesn't seem to be the case. What do you make of this scene, Steve?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Amir Garrett, a reliever for the Cincinnati Reds, another guy like Grichuk, not part of the sort of controversy, he chimed in saying, "Man, these baseball players are effectively saying they're soft. They couldn't play any other sport." He said, "I mean, this sort of thing goes on all the time. If you don't like it, then strike the guy out. If you don't like the bat," this is a pitcher saying it, "if you don't like the bat flip, then instead of throwing at him, how about you make a better pitch and get him out?" You guys all think, I mean, it's like in the NBA, this guy was a college basketball player, Amir Garrett at St. John's. It's like if you get posterized on a guy dunking on you, then you know what? Next time, try to block the shot. It's not, you know, let's fight over it. I think Randall Grichuk needs to mind his own business and stay out of it. I think he has no business commenting about it at all. And I understand what Tim Anderson said. What Tim Anderson was saying was, we know that what Grichuk was doing was applying what he tweeted to Tim Anderson. Anderson wanted to say it, and Grichuk, we all knew he said it. I mean, the timing said it was about that. I don't care if a guy throws his bat up on a bat flip. I've got high school kids. They're like, "Oh, one of the best things is when you trash talk a guy on the other team." And I'm like, they just beat you by 25 points. Like, who cares if you won the trash talk game if they won the game? Can we just go play? And if you don't like it, if a guy hits a home run against you, don't throw at him. How about you get him out next time? I just think, you know, why do we want to make vanilla players in this game? If guys want to celebrate and have fun, then instead, if you get mad about the celebration, don't get mad at that. Get mad at yourself that you didn't make the right pitch and go out there and get him out next time. The other thing that's stupid is you hit him, you're putting another guy on base. Like that's a double victory. The guy just homered against you once, and now you're putting him on base again because you hit him with a pitch. I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with celebrations now. I'm kind of old school. But we want kids to enjoy the game. What kids talk about is bat flips. I promise you this, next home run Tim Anderson hits against the White Sox, it is going to be epic. Or against the Royals, that bat flip is going to be epic. I cannot wait. And I think when the White Sox and Blue Jays play on May 10th, look for Grichuk to get plunked.
That'll be interesting. Yeah, they might. And then it's on whoever's on the mound for the Blue Jays to respond, and then the cycle will just continue.
That's a whole other argument, yeah. Throwing at a guy's head. It's like, what about a bat flip that's really that bad, but you can toss a baseball at his melon?
At 95 miles an hour.
Yeah, you got a chance to kill somebody because the guy flipped his bat and over-celebrated. Who cares?
Or even worse, tweeted.
Sends out a very passive-aggressive tweet, though, to be fair. Like you said, Steve, Grichuk knew exactly who he was directing that at. Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Here's Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst. The Jays taking 3 of 4 out of Minnesota. They're off to the West Coast to start a series. Tomorrow morning on First Up, Landsberg and Koliakovo will be announcing a Leaf playoff keyword. And then I will give you the cue to call tomorrow during tomorrow's show. And the first person through with the correct keyword will win a pair of tickets to see the Leafs-Bruins Game 6 on Sunday, courtesy of TSN 1050. Game 6 down at Scotiabank. When will that game be played? It's still yet to be determined.
Right.
We'll touch on that. What the plan is tomorrow night down at Maple Leaf Square when the Leafs and the Raptors are both playing on the road. Ray Ferraro coming up and Brian Windhorst dropping a Kawhi Leonard bombshell that no one in Toronto is going to want to hear. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. The Maple Leafs and Raptors are off tonight, but the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs continue. And remember to head over to Amsterdam Brewhouse on the Queens Quay, TSN 1050's playoff headquarters. And both teams are going to play tomorrow night. So we're going to have a clash of the Maple Leafs and the Raptors, both on the road. Leafs in Boston for Game 5, and the Raptors are in Orlando for Game 3. And this puts Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment in a bit of a predicament because of Maple Leaf Square.
Right.
And Raptors fans want to go down there and own it. Maple Leaf fans want to go down there and own it. I would like to believe in a city this big, there are enough fans of both teams that just want to be there, and you're going to be able to watch both.
And there is a solution, though?
Which is what they're going to do. The big screen will be the Maple Leaf game. They've got a million other screens around the square, and those are all going to be Raptors games. So the big screen will be the Leafs, and the smaller screens, and I don't know how many they have down there, but they're going to have a fair amount. They're going to have the Raptors game. So you can go down for both.
That's what you think the solution is?
Well, I'm telling you, that's what the solution is. That's what they're going to do.
Sunday. Where he could, the times of the games could.
No, I'm talking about tomorrow night. We'll get to Sunday in a moment. I'm saying tomorrow night they both play, and they both play tomorrow night. It's
on
a 7 o'clock game, and they're both on the road.
Yeah.
So Maple Leaf Square is
I
up
think
for
you
grabs.
Honestly, don't you just do a coin flip? It's just like whoever wins, wins. What's the sense of having...
Why not appease both? I think it'd be great. What if you get 2 wins tomorrow night?
No,
what if the Leafs win
I'm,
and the Raptors win, and you're
saying,
a fan of both, that'd be awesome to be down there.
But my question would be, why would the Leafs get the big screen and the Raptors get the smaller screen?
Well, I think for a couple of different reasons. One, it's a more important game because it's Game 5 as opposed to Game 3.
Okay, yeah.
Also, with all due respect to Orlando, I think the Raptors are going to handle them. I think most people feel pretty confident the Raptors are going to figure that out.
That you're going to have more opportunities to be in the square.
They're going to keep playing.
Right.
The Raptors will be playing into next week, the week beyond that.
You think
the
it's guaranteed? Leafs, it's not guaranteed with the Leafs, so you're...
Of course it's not.
Yeah.
How could anyone suggest it's guaranteed the Leafs are going to win? It's not a guarantee the Raptors are going to win the series, but I feel very confident that they're going to do that.
Didn't I see a stat where Orlando's won 8 home games in a row, too? Did I see that today?
They were on a heater down the stretch.
Yeah.
They were anti-Drake. Down a stretch.
No, what's his
Bernie.
Name? Bernie.
They were not Bernie from the movie The Cooler coming down the stretch because they played really well and got themselves into the playoffs to begin with. But ultimately, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Listen,
there's always been a give and take. Enough. Some Leaf fans hate on the Raptors. Some Raptors fans hate on all the hockey coverage up here. But I think there's a middle ground of
For
people
sure,
that love
is.
Both teams, and they're the ones that'll be down there tomorrow night.
Exactly. And it's, what, 3,000 people in that square? Like, is it? 2,000 to 3,000.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the capacity is.
They'll
but
be able to fill it.
They'll be fine, and it's all younger people anyway. And if you got a problem with it, just don't go down.
Exactly.
Like if you got such a big issue with it and you want to protest, I'm sure people will be really concerned about your personal opinion and your protest.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of people will. You know, CP24 will send Gurdeep over to do a piece on you personally because you're disappointed that either the Leaf game or the Raptor game isn't exclusively being shown.
Yeah.
Well, so if you got a big problem, then just stay at home. But Sunday, the Leafs will be back in town. And the timing of that game is still yet to be determined.
Yeah, it doesn't say. It says TBD on the website. So you
makes
wonder.
You wonder. Are they going to play maybe an afternoon game? Because NBC is probably going to have some pull on this, I would think.
But doesn't it depend what other games could possibly be played at night? Whether they want to stagger, who's left?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of probably moving parts.
Well, as of now, there are three games scheduled for Sunday.
Okay.
Calgary at Colorado.
Which would be later regardless, right?
Which is also possibly not happening.
Even if it even gets there.
If it gets to six, you're right.
And the other game outside of Boston, Toronto, is San Jose at Vegas.
So might not be getting there as well.
So
it could be actually the Leafs and Bruins playing solely on that day.
And I think if it is, then I think it would probably be an afternoon game. I think NBC. I'm assuming if there's going to be a game in the afternoon, it's because NBC is saying we have something slotted for a playoff game here. We're putting a game in here. We are NBC.
Yeah,
we've paid for it. And if there's only one game that day, that game's going on NBC.
At 3 p.m.?
Well, I don't know what time it's at. I mean, there are people writing in. I have no idea when they're going to be playing.
I'm not a scheduler, and I actually don't pay attention to that stuff, but it actually is a lot more important as if it's your team playing there because...
Changes up everything.
Well, it changes... It's Easter Sunday, correct?
Right.
So people have a routine on that day.
Well, I had this conversation with my dad last night. We were driving home. I was on the parkway. He was driving up Avenue Road or whatever. And it dawned on him, like, mid-conversation. He's like, I can't go to the game on Sunday because we're all going to their house.
Right.
And he's like, we're having dinner. And I said, Dad, get real. We're having, like, a 4 o'clock dinner. You think I'm sitting at the house watching the Leaf game? No chance. Like, I'm getting back home or I'm going down to the game.
Right.
But now, if the game's at 3 o'clock, we're screwed.
Well, you have dinner and watch the game.
No. Well, but what if you want to go to the game?
Oh, well,
if you've got family plans and everyone's supposed to be with the family at 3 o'clock or whatever, how are you going to get down to a 3 o'clock game?
You just don't go to the dinner. You tell them, see you next year. That's what you say.
I'm not even religious. We're not even religious. I'm not.
Just scrap it. Nothing's happening.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Dad would care. He wouldn't care.
If you've got people coming over, though. Are there religious people coming over?
It has nothing to do with religion anyway. Yeah. It's a family get-together or whatever. Yes, a priest is coming over to the house. Pope Francis is going to pop into the house.
With a turkey.
Are religious people coming over
I don't know. I mean, I'm like you. I just get up and go to work and whatever.
And I'm effectively told where to go in a lot of...
Exactly.
So we're doing a family outing on Sunday, and if it's at 3 o'clock, you know, if the Leafs are playing in the afternoon or at night... I guess what I'm saying is NBC better not screw around here.
Yeah, exactly. Mess up your plans for your family on Sunday.
Right. We all want to get together, but we also want to be watching the Leaf game. And the Raptors are playing on Sunday as well. So there's a lot of complicated things going on. Hour 2 coming up next. Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, back in a game 4 of the Leafs-Bruins series from last night. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.